You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Growing up has never been easy, but our guest says today's social media has made coming of age in America faster, hypersexualized, and public. Sites and apps like Instagram, Vine, Kick, and Tinder are widely used, and in her new book, she makes the case that they're radically changing the way that teenagers grow up.
Nancy Jo Sales is an author and award-winning journalist. She's written for Vanity Fair, New York, and Harper's Bazaar. Her new book is called American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. Nancy Jo, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks. Well, how would you describe the change that social media has had on the lives of teenage girls?
Well, we have now teenagers using social media or consuming media, being on smartphones, tablets, computers, 9 to 11 hours a day. Some studies say every waking moment. And teenagers in studies say that they are, many of them are on social media almost constantly, quote unquote. So this is a big change in and of itself. The amount of time they're spending doing this as opposed to other things they might have done in the past.
Well, adolescence has always been, has always had the potential to be a really horrible time. Hormones are out of control. You've got this excruciating self-awareness at the same time. So when social media enters that zone, what happens?
There's a lot of pressure on both boys and girls, but I think particularly girls, to present an image on social media, to take pictures of oneself that present an image that is quote-unquote perfect. And unfortunately, there's a lot of sexualization that goes on. Girls want to look hot. And so they're taking pictures of themselves and thinking about, what do I look like? And will I get likes? You know, girls tell me that it's all about the likes. You have to get likes. The kind of popularity contest that high school has always been has, you know, migrated onto social media, where other people validate you and judge you through likes and comments. And I think that this creates a lot of pressure. And girls in my book, I talked to over 200 girls all over the country, talked to me a lot about that.
And tell us about some of those conversations you had, because even though you were talking to girls of different races, social classes, living in different areas of the country, it sounded as though there were common themes that emerged. What were they?
Yeah, I was very struck by that, about how, you know, these platforms are the same. And so they're creating a kind of homogeneity of experience. And not all of it is very pleasant. You know, I talked to some girls in Cortona Park East, which is one of the poorest neighborhoods in the country, in the Bronx, and girls in Boca Raton, Florida, one of a very, very affluent neighborhood. And these girls were talking about things that happened online that were so similar, one of which was something called, it has a name I'm not sure I can say on the radio, but these are these pages where not always boys, but typically boys will aggregate nude or semi-nude pictures of girls in their school or in their community, and who've sent pictures like this to someone who they maybe think is an intimate friend or partner.
And these are high school kids we're talking about.
Yeah, even middle school. And they will put all of these pictures on a page on Facebook or Instagram or other sites. And then it's up there for, you know, sometimes days, and everyone sees it.
And how does that affect these girls? I mean, I guess we don't know whether they consented to have their pictures being posted like that, but you have to assume that most of them didn't.
Most of them didn't. And this comes up in the news from time to time, and there's a hue and cry about it, and people say, oh, look at this high school, look at what's happening here at this place. But it's really very widespread. It's become very common. There was almost no school where I went to where this wasn't happening. And that's just one example of this kind of, I would call it self-generated sort of pornography that is a part of high school and middle school life now.
And you found the same thing in rural schools, too? If you were to look at rural Wisconsin, you would hear the same stories?
I didn't go to Wisconsin, per se, but I went to Indiana and Kentucky and Virginia and other places where there were girls in rural areas. And I think that what we're seeing here, again, is the technology is the same everywhere. You know, it's like girls in Wisconsin are on Instagram the same way that girls in Florida or New York City are on Instagram. You know, they're using the same apps, which are, you know, have certain requirements for engagement, and one of which is posting pictures, liking, commenting, friending, unfriending. You know, there's all kinds of behaviors that go on these apps, which are the same no matter where you are or who you are.
We're talking with Nancy Jo Sales right now, talking about how social media has changed the way girls grow up. Her new book is called American Girls. And you say that this is primarily affecting girls for the most part, and your book is aimed at girls. What is it doing to boys, and why is it, do you think, disproportionately affecting girls?
Well, it was really girls that brought me to the subject of social media. I mean, I've written about kids off and on for about 20 years, and I had noticed that there were an awful lot of stories in the news about high-profile cases of cyberbullying, suicide, sexual assault, all these, you know, very, very sinister and sad things going on with the social media element. So I started talking to girls about it and heard from them about how this was a really much more widespread, I would say, epidemic problem among girls, not with necessarily these extreme outcomes, but on a day-to-day basis, girls were dealing with issues in their lives on social media that had similar themes, cyberbullying, sexual harassment, and, you know, of course, again, the sexualization of girls that goes on social media and just as part of its culture.
Today there is this big selfie culture, this culture of taking pictures of yourself and posting it on social media. The Kardashians, of course, leading the charge on that one. But as a starting point, it seems like it could be a wholesome thing, or at least a positive thing for self-esteem, to take a picture of yourself that you feel good about. So where does it go wrong?
Well, I think the problem is twofold. One is that these are images. This is not a whole person. We're offering images of ourselves. The girls are offering images of themselves up for what, because of the structure of these sites, amounts to validation. So you're saying, here's a picture of me. Do you like it? You know, it's interesting because one of the, you know, and people get to say yes or no, or you're hot or you're not. And very often the comments are sexualized too. You know, people will say hot, or, you know, they'll make comments that I can't really repeat on the radio. But I think that this, you know, sexualization is widely studied as being very damaging to girls. There's a landmark report about it done by the American Psychological Association about how it affects their self-esteem in a bad way, and also can have really, really serious consequences like, you know, mental health issues, anxiety, depression. I saw, in interviewing girls, I saw an awful lot of anxiety related to social media use. And I think that this does affect them more than boys, because I don't feel that boys are necessarily judged or sexualized in the same way. Not that boys don't also suffer from some of these things, but let's face it, girls are more the targets of, we know for a fact that they're more targets of cyberbullying. They're more targets of judgment. If you want to talk about the Kardashians, I mean, just today, there was in the news that Kim Kardashian posted I talk about her in my book because girls all over the country really look up to the Kardashians. And today, Kim posted a nude selfie.
That was in my news feed this morning. So there it is at the top, you know.
Yeah, well, I can guarantee you that in many middle schools and high schools around the country, that picture is a subject of discussion. And, you know, it's a part of the culture. You know, once upon a time, you know, we've always had celebrities. We've always had people who have influence over kids' lives for being famous for whatever reason. But social media stars now hold sway among kids more than regular stars. I mean, Kim is a much bigger star in a way than the average Hollywood actress. So what she does affects teenage culture and even middle school culture, you know? So I can guarantee you kids are talking about this picture, and I think that parents need to get involved in those conversations too. And I think one of the big questions for girls to ask and for parents to discuss with their daughters is, why is this person doing this? What is the goal of this picture? Why is nakedness? Why is a woman and we don't see men doing the same thing. Why is this woman doing this as part of her, you know, exercising her celebrity, if you will?
Do you think that girls who see that, if they're discussing it, do they then feel kind of pressured to follow suit to, I guess, you know, keep up in a sense?
Well, I think there is a normalizing that goes on and is going on even today, and saying that, you know, this is normal. This is okay. You get attention. You get likes. Look at Kim. She's doing it. Well, she feels good about herself, so she's posting this picture. Isn't that great? You know, I do think it has an influence on girls and their feeling about what is essentially, I mean, one could argue, a kind of self-generated pornography again, being normalized and dismissed as just, you know, something that people just do now. And I think that we really have to think about what that says to girls, especially young girls, about what their value is. And what, I mean, we can tell them, you know, every day in every way possible as parents, you're valuable because you're smart and you're a good person and you're good at sports and because you do all kinds of nice things for people. But when a girl sees in our culture a woman being valued for all kinds of things except those wonderful things and for getting rewarded, then I think there might be a conflict in her mind about, well, what really is valuable? And I think parents need to talk to their daughters about this.
We're talking with Nancy Jo Sales right now. She's an author and journalist, and her new book is called American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers, talking about how social media has changed the way that girls grow up.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. How do you think social media has changed the lives of American teenagers? Do you see it having a negative effect on your kids, or do you see some upside? If you agree with our guest, what can we do to dial down the over-sexualized culture on social media? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking now with Nancy Jo Sales. She writes about youth culture for Vanity Fair and Harper's Bazaar, and her new book is called American Girls, Social Media and the Secret Lives of Teenagers. And we're talking about how social media has changed the way that girls grow up.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. Are you the parent of a teen girl? Are you a teen girl yourself? How does social media work in your life? Do you hear, do you see some of the negative things our guest is talking about? Bullying, growing up in public in some ways, hypersexualization? And if you do, what could we do about it? Call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And Nancy Jo, I know you had conversations with 200 girls, and I'm sure at some point you've asked them, well, if you feel anxious, if it's not making you feel positive, why don't you stop using social media? What did they tell you?
That's a good question, and it came up in the very first conversation I had in my reporting, and I talk about it in the introduction to my book. The very first girls I talked to in Los Angeles, one of them said to me, social media is destroying our lives. And I said, well, why don't you go off of it? And one of her friends said, because then we'd have no life. And this sort of set the tone for the entire reporting, 30 months of reporting. Because there were all these things that girls felt were really troubling and disturbing and challenging about social media. But at the same time, their culture is so enmeshed in it. I mean, again, 9 to 11 hours a day, social media and media consumption. This is where, as one girl said, this is where we live now. This is where we live. So it's almost like if you go off it, you are left out. You're left out of the conversation. You're not participating in where your culture is right now. I want to add one thing, though. There are many girls in the book who talk about the good side of social media. I mean, this is just a tool. It's not inherently good or bad. It's just a tool, and it's being used in ways right now which I think are really damaging to girls. But we can change that, and girls can change that, you know. It's just a question of, you know, I think starting the conversation about it. Girls in the book talk to me about, you know, all of the kind of positive outcomes they've had from using social media. And there's a black girl in the book who talks about becoming involved in the Black Lives Matter movement. There's a transgender girl who talks about finding support for her identity on YouTube So, you know, and then there's also just the ways that they socialize and are playful with each other and communicate in all kinds of fun ways. But I think that's really overshadowed right now with a lot of things that are, I think, potentially very bad for them. And one of them is, you know, forget about these serious things like sexualization. One of them is just the constancy of it and how it's like an all-the-time thing. I mean, many girls felt very trapped in these sort of text groups where, you know, they have a friend group that will text, you know, pretty much constantly all day, and they're sending or receiving sometimes 100 or more texts a day. It's very distracting to schoolwork. It's very distracting to just your thoughts.
What is your sense in talking to these girls about how they understand the idea of feminism or women's empowerment and how that might relate to all of this?
A running thread throughout the book was feminism. I think that, you know, between 2013 and 2014, we saw, or I saw, even in talking to girls, interviewing them, a kind of an awareness, a kind of a waking up of feminist consciousness in the country. And that had a lot to do with, among girls, that had a lot to do with social media, too. And there were a lot of hashtags involving their concerns as girls and being, you know, being feminist, what is feminism? So you'll read throughout the book girls analyzing and discussing these notions and becoming aware, more and more aware, of how feminism plays a part in their lives and what it means for them. But at the same time, you know, when there's feminism and when there's an interest in feminism that sparks up, it's usually because, you know, something's wrong. Something's making us feel like there's too much sexism. And that's certainly what these girls, a lot of them, are feeling. Whether they would articulate in precisely that sense or not, these were things that were unfair or were degrading or were, you know, undermining in some way, and undermining to their empowerment. So this is a big, big theme in the book American Girls, and I think it's really an interesting subject for girls right now. I would hope that girls read the book as well as their parents. But parents in particular, I think, can help girls through these issues by understanding them a little better and just understanding how much girls are grappling with this right now.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Specifically, what would your advice be to parents if they want to help their daughters emerge from all of this feeling strong and good about themselves and not feeling anxious and having lowered self-esteem? What can they do?
I think they need to talk to them about it, and they need to talk to them with an informed perspective and just really understand, like, really what's going on social media and how much sexual harassment there is for girls, you know, and how much pornography there is. You know, the one thing we haven't really talked about is the influence of online pornography on social media. I mean, girls and boys are likely to encounter a lot of sexually explicit material on social media. I mean, you know, Title IX established more than 40 years ago that the flashing of pornographic images in a certain, like a setting, like a workplace, is sexual harassment, and it's wrong. But this is what happens on social media. It's kind of this free-for-all. There's not, you know, we haven't had a lot of court cases establishing what's legal and what's not legal online and on social media. So, you know, chances are, if your kid is on social media, they're on any of the top sites, they're going to encounter some pornographic image, because a lot of the pornography websites advertise on there, and they might click on something, and, you know, there it is. I mean, in our Twitter feeds, we see all kinds of pornography all the time. And I think that parents really need to be aware of this and talk to their kids about, you know, just sort of prepare them for it and talk to them about what it means, particularly since online porn is that we see today is not, I mean, when you think of porn, if you think of like 1960s Playboys, you kind of have a lot of catching up to do, because online porn now is very extreme and a lot of it's quite violent and I would say degrading to women.
So it sounds like the ground floor here is know what your kids are going through.
I would say so, and start having conversations. We have a website for the book that I think the publisher did a great job with, called AmericanGirlsBook.com. And we have discussion guides for parents and discussion guides for girls. ways in which you can start having these conversations with each other. And also there's a place to share your stories so that girls can have, like, a place online where they can read about what other girls are going through, and parents can share as well.
Nancy, thank you.
Anonymously. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. That was Nancy Jo Sales, author and award-winning journalist, author of the book American Girls, Social Media, and the Secret Lives of Teenagers.